You're listening to The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Join the conversation live. Our phone lines are open, 732-545-9282. That's 732-545-WCTC.
Welcome to The Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester-Howells, and I'm here with Jared. He's waving to me. He's over there pushing buttons. The weather has been pretty amazing. It hasn't felt real wintry, which is good. I've been spending a fair amount of time outside, but not working in the garden. I've been sanding doors. Yes, sanding doors. Been trying to get the kitchen finished in time for Christmas. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. It's not due to lack of effort. It's just, why is it that everything takes so much longer than you think it's going to take? So, but it's coming out. It's going to be great. And I did this one door. There's three doors in the kitchen, the back door, the pantry door, the basement door. And the basement door was the most fun. I've been working, scraping 11 coats of paint on the one side of the door. So the other side of the door, facing the basement stairs, didn't seem to have quite as many layers of paint on it, which was good. And I decided since it was facing the basement, I didn't have to fuss with it as much. So I didn't do a lot of pre-sanding scraping. I just got the electric sander out. We set the door up out in the backyard. But let me tell you, it was painted different colors than it was on the kitchen side of the door. And when I got down to the red layer with all the other colors coming through, the blue, the white, the yellow, it looks pretty amazing. And I'm actually going to keep it that way and just varathane it. I love how it looks, all patchy, lots of different colors, but mostly red. Absolutely love it. So that part came out good. So that's what I've been working on, but I have been admiring what's going on outside, which is always fun, of course. That camellia it's got more flowers on it, the bright pink, vivid, really vivid, rose-like flowers on this camellia. It's covered. It's just completely covered in flowers, and it's December. It's pretty amazing. So absolutely thrilled with that. And I shake my head in amazement every time I look at it because it is December. And lots of times, you know, they don't bloom at all. But this one is just putting its heart into it. And it's right outside the front porch so I can see it when I look out the window. It's the tallest of the camellias that I planted. So it comes way above the rail so I can see all the flowers just from the front porch. So that's really enjoyable. I'm thinking I'm going to have to do a little research, but probably the best time to do this is maybe late June after the new growth comes out. But it probably needs a little shaping before spring, so maybe I'll try it then just to give it a – see if I can propagate it because I think it would be kind of fun to be able to propagate it and then have it as gifts since it blooms so profusely that a lot of people would enjoy having it. So I may give that a whirl. So other than that, the greenhouse is relatively quiet. I haven't, you know, started any seeds. My poinsettia that Tommy gave me is doing very well. Remember, everybody that has poinsettias, that it's very important to not let them get dry. If they get dry, they just drop leaves. They do not recover. Wilted leaves do not perk back up again. They just fall off. So it's really important to keep them well watered. I think, you know, it's a good idea to keep them out of the sun, you know, as well, you know, for now. Once the season's over, you want to give them as much sun as possible. But if you put them in a really sunny location or really warm location, it's just going to cause them to age a little bit more quickly. And you want to hold on to those flowers in the center. Now, remember, the flower is actually the little yellow nubby thing in the center. And once those fall off, the plant begins to deteriorate. So you want to make sure if you're purchasing them or if you have them at home that you keep it well watered. Again, if it starts to lose leaves, it may drop those flowers and cause the progression of the aging of the plant and the end of the blooming. So you want to keep a close eye on that. And as always, as I tell you, whenever we talk about poinsettias, please be careful where you locate them. Make sure that you are very careful with the foil wrap for both. You don't want it to be sitting in water in that foil, and you don't want to put it on a surface and have that foil leak. Make sure you put it on a glazed or plastic saucer, not a clay saucer. Clay saucers are fine in the garden. They're fine in the greenhouse, but they're really not that great inside the house because they leak or leach just like the sides of the clay pot. So you can get a lot of damage on the surface of whatever you're putting it on if you use a clay saucer. Now, if you like the looks of a clay saucer, you can use a clay saucer and put a plastic liner. They sell plastic liners for clay saucers. I find that to be sort of annoying, but it is functional. So you can do that. And that will, you know, give you the nice look, the natural look of the clay pot, but still prevent any leaking through. You can also, I've also seen clay saucers that are glazed on the inside. That works, you know, if you can find them. But you definitely need something that's not pervious to water so that it doesn't leach through. So, but I did get my Christmas tree and put it up last week, and we went over to Jack's and we put that up, and it's fabulous. My Christmas tree is, Jack has really, really great trees. So we put up the tree. Tommy was pretty clever. I don't know how he managed to do this, but while the tree was still in the truck, he put the Christmas tree stand on and then just tipped it up as he moved it into its spot, which I thought that was kind of clever. And he got it really straight. So he installed the tree. We decorated it, put on all. It's a relatively small tree. I mean, we've had some giant trees that we would put on the front porch. And we didn't put all the ornaments on because we really have enough for two trees. So we put all of our favorite ornaments on. The cat has also decided which are his favorite ornaments, and he likes to bat them around. Had to replace them a number of times, putting them back on. Have to be careful not to put the really good breakable ones down on the bottom where he can bat them. We also tied the tree up with some very heavy string just to make sure if the cat decides to climb the tree that it won't come down. I've only had that happen once in my life, and I'll thank you very much. That was enough. So we the tree is up. It looks really good. We put water. Tommy puts water in it every day, sometimes twice a day. Really sucks up a lot of water, those fresh trees. You keep them fresh by keeping a lot of water in them, and that way you keep them safe. My daughter's boyfriend, Alex, was kind of intrigued by the fact that we had a real Christmas tree. Apparently, he's never had a real Christmas tree. And he says, "Don't you worry about the needles going everywhere?" And I'm like, no. Because if you get a fresh, locally grown, supporting a local farmer with a fresh cut while you wait Christmas tree, they don't drop needles. My tree last year, after we took it down, I'm not going to say they don't drop any needles, but who cares if you have a couple of dozen needles on the floor, you vacuum them up. It's not a big deal. But we put it on the porch after the holidays and just, you know, propped it up against the house on the front porch. And that thing stayed green until June. I kid you not, I was amazed at how fabulous it looked. Then when the weather got hot, poof, it dropped all its needles. And yes, we got rid of it at that point. But seriously, if you get a really fresh tree, locally grown, which supports local agriculture and all that, it's a wonderful thing. You get the scent, you get the smell. It smells like Christmas, smells like the woods, lasts, doesn't drop needles. It's just a wonderful thing. So if you don't go see Jack, go see one of the other local Christmas tree growers. There's quite a few in the area, and get yourself a really great tree if you haven't gotten one yet. All right, so the number here, 545-9282. We do have four open lines. Is that correct? We have four open lines. So if you give us a call, we can answer your gardening questions. We'll be here till 10 o'clock to do that. So again, the number, 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 888-545-9282. That's WCTC if you have a hard time remembering. And we'll be back after this.
Now the Fox Sports New Jersey weather forecast. Cooler day today, a lot of sunshine. It stays breezy, high around 50. Clear skies and chilly tonight, heading down to 30 and 35. A lot of sunshine around and mild tomorrow. Looks like a quiet week, high 50 to 55. A few clouds tomorrow night, lows to around 30. And Tuesday we have more sun. There'll be a few clouds around. Still temperatures relatively mild, highs between 50 and 55. I'm WeatherWorks' Tony Salimo on Fox Sports New Jersey.
By texting 818181, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Echelon. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at echelonfit.com/SMS.
You want to ride out and get on.
Mr. Worldwide, and I tell you all the time, why dream when you can live it? And that's why now we have an amazing partnership with Echelon to make sure and to help everybody out there make their fitness dreams a reality. I'm here to motivate. I'm here to inspire you every day, baby. Now, Echelon makes fitness affordable for everyone. So, no more excuses. Take your stress and turn it into sweat. Reinvent yourself into the new you that you've always wanted to be. Now take it from yours truly, Mr. 305, that said, Mr. Worldwide, let me and Echelon bring your fitness dreams to reality. Why dream when you can live it? You already know. I don't know about you, but I feel good. Let's ride.
And right now, for a limited time, radio listeners get up to $800 off MSRP. To get this Echelon exclusive radio discount, text GOALS to 818181. Text GOALS to 818181 to get up to $800 off MSRP. That's GOALS to 818181.
Boost your mood in New Jersey. Escape to a wild and free winter wonderland, or rediscover the places and faces you treasure most. Chart your course to tranquility and the moments that renew. Bundle up for way cool adventures in parks, forests, and family-favorite attractions. Or warm up to new dining, cultural, and historic experiences. Find it all at visitnj.org.
If you're not facing your mortgage issues, this can be the most terrifying sound in the world. It means you've fallen behind. It means hope is dwindling. It means you're another call closer to losing your home to foreclosure. Fortunately, there's hope. If you need real help and guidance, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673. Because nothing is worse than doing nothing.
Brought to you by NHS of New York City, Brand New Day, RUPCO, MHA of Southwestern Connecticut, NeighborWorks, and the Ad Council.
Learn everything you need to know about retirement and Medicare with Navigating Medicare with Mario Vargas. Each Saturday at 11 a.m. on 1450 a.m. and 93.5 FM, Fox Sports, New Jersey.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Picture streams in our community. That's where our kids play and dogs splash. And some of these streams provide the water we drink. But is the water in these streams clean and safe? The truth is, for most local streams, no one knows. That's a problem. One the Isaac Walton League can help you solve with the Clean Water Challenge. For almost 50 years, the Isaac Walton League of America has helped people just like you test the water in local streams, clean up pollution, and protect healthy waters. Today, the Isaac Walton League has an ambitious new goal. Engage volunteers across the country to test 100,000 more streams for pollution. You can protect clean water in our community by joining the Clean Water Challenge. To get involved, visit IWLA.org. That's IWLA.org.
You're listening to The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Helms on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Join the conversation live. Our phone lines are open, 732-545-9282. That's 732-545-WCTC.
Welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester-Howells, and The Garden Show on 1450 WCTC is brought to you in part by Barty Farms, now over 117 years old and still growing. Okay, we're having a little beeping noise going on here. Not quite sure what that's coming from. Jared? Where are you? Okay, well, let me, okay, that went away. That's good. So where was I? Oh, yeah. So one of the things that I did this week that was really kind of fun also started when I went to pick up my Christmas tree. I collected a pretty significant number of pine cones, not spruce cones. I didn't think the spruce cones would work so well, so it was definitely pine cones. Spruce cones tend to be a little flatter, longer, more tubular, less bumpy. But I read someplace, and I thought this was a really good idea, that worth a try. Now, wherever Andy is, he should be listening to this. To put pine cones in the pots of big plants to keep cats out. Have you ever heard of that, Jared?
I have not.
Well, I thought it sounded like a really good idea, that because of all the things that sticking up and they're hard in the spaces, it would that cats don't like to walk on them. So, and they're pretty. You know, they look nice in the pots.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I did. I collected a whole lot, and I probably should have gotten more, but I did like three or four pots, and I think it's working. I think that's pretty cool because it's, you know, we've talked about putting rocks in there. We've talked about buying covers. We've talked about all kinds of things that you could do. But if the pine cones work, then that may be a really fun and good solution because it's attractive. You can water through it. They're not a problem in the soil. When you use stone, which is, you know, a reasonable approach, it gets worked into the soil, and I always find that annoying. I was using those glass marbles, all different kinds, the flat ones, the round ones, different colors, different sizes. And they look real pretty, especially when you water, they look all shiny. But my cat was taking, he thought they were a toy for him. And he would take them out one at a time and bat them all around the greenhouse.
Everything's a toy for cats, though.
Well, that's true. Everything is a toy for cats. But this was, I was finding them in my bed. He would take them out of the pots and carry them through the house. I have at the base of the basement stairs, at the bottom of the basement stairs, I have a long runner that goes from the basement stairs over to the door to go out to the greenhouse. And I would be walking on this thing, and I would feel bumps. Somehow he managed to hide the marbles under the rug. I don't know how he did that, but he would get these things. So they were everywhere. I found at least six of them in my bed. He would pick them up in his mouth, carry them. I don't know, but it was a little bit of a problem. Plus, he would still dig in them and make a mess. So it wasn't working. It was not. It was a good solution before the cat, because it looked pretty and you could water through it and it was decorative and that was good. But the cat just seems to think they're entirely there for his entertainment. But the pine cones, they seem to be working nicely. So that's good. And we're going to stick with that for a while. So that was definitely a good thing. I should point out that at this time of year, the days are approaching the shortest day of the year. When is that? That's like
the 20th or the 21st.
Yeah, so that's, well, Christmas is on a Saturday, so that's like a week away?
A week and a half.
Yeah. A week and a half. Okay. So the shortest day of the year is yet to come, which means the days after that are still some of the shortest days of the year. Obviously, December and the first half of January are the shortest, darkest, scariest times of the year. Luckily, we got Christmas in there with lots of lights, and that kind of perks things up. But anything that you can do to help your houseplants is a good idea because they're, you know, they're really struggling. We're struggling. I'm struggling. Are you struggling, Jared?
Yeah, the winter depression is hitting me hard this year so far.
So that's, you know, we need light. Luckily, you know, the weather's okay outside, so you can get outside, maybe go for a walk, walk your dog, walk along the beach, you know, hold hands with somebody and enjoy a romantic walk around the neighborhood, say hi to people, look at the Christmas lights, do something to get out. But, you know, at least the weather's conducive to that. But it is. The darkness is depressing. So if you think it's depressing for you as a human, think of how depressing it is for a plant who lives entirely on light. That's where their food comes from. That's where their energy comes from. They need light. So when they're in your living room or in a window in your house and the days are really short, they really are struggling. So anything that you can do to help your plants is a good idea. One thing is you want to keep them away from sources of heat. People do have their heat on now, which is reasonable, but you want to keep them away from sources of heat so that they don't get overheated and dry out, and that will just put them under more stress. So you don't want them, especially because the heat comes on and then it goes off, it comes on, it goes off. So they can be exposed to, you know, pretty warm temperatures and then it gets cool. That's not good. You want the temperature to be, you know, kind of consistent, not fluctuate dramatically. It can get cooler at night and warmer during the day because that's close to what it would be doing outside. But you want to try to avoid repeated fluctuations of temperature throughout the day, including, you know, not only the heat coming on, but by any kind of a door that opens and closes and lets in blasts of cold air. That's not good either. So you want to kind of find spots for your plants where the temperature stays relatively stable. So that's one thing that's important at this time of year. But more light related, here's something that you may want to give some thought to, is give them a bath. I know that sounds weird, but it's true, especially in your home. Outside, plants get rained on, which kind of washes them off every now and then. Inside, you tend to not water the foliage. You tend to water the pot. And so things get dusty. And when the heat's on or the air conditioning's on and stuff blows and it lands on the plants. So giving them a bath can really be a good experience for them because it will not only get them clean and make them look good, but if you have any developing insect problems, it's a great way to nip that in the bud. So keeping the plants clean can make a big difference because if there's dirt on the surface of the leaves, then that inhibits their ability to photosynthesize efficiently. So that's something that you can do. Another thing that you can do is take down the screens. Do you have screens on your windows, Jared?
We do, yeah.
Yeah, well, if you have plants, you may want to take the screens down. At the very least, okay, this is a pain, but you can clean them. Have you ever looked closely at a screen? I mean, really close?
Oh, they get gross.
They get gross. And they... It's like, you know, sometimes people decorate their windows with snow and they put a little snow in the corner, you know, kind of make it look like the snow landed there. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, that's the way things accumulate in windows, and that's the way they accumulate on screens. Screens are made up of lots of tiny little squares, and if you look, it's often probably due to the direction of the way the wind blows or something, but that they tend to accumulate dirt in the corners, just like the decorative white snow in the windows. And if you don't want to take the screens down, if you feel like you need the screens at this time of year, if you take them down and clean them, you'd be amazed at how much more light comes through. And then they'll be clean too, which is nice. I clean mine, not that I do it all the time. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a fanatic about this. But when I was at the farm and all my plants were in south-facing windows, I did clean them then or take them down. So just, you know, with a scrub brush and a sink and a spray, you know, the spray nozzle. Or you could do it in the shower if the screens are big. And again, with a handheld thing like you have in the shower, nozzle, handheld nozzle in the shower is really helpful. But a scrub brush, because you want something to go through all those little holes, and some soap, some dish soap, squirt it on, some water, scrub them up. And it makes a really, really big difference. And they look better too. So that's something, and that will really increase the amount of light that comes through, and your plants will certainly appreciate that. You can also, another tip is you can move your plants higher up in the window and take advantage more of the hanging space. And can you figure out why that would be at this time of year, Jared?
Probably something to do with heat rising.
No.
Really?
But that's a good guess. Huh. Has to do with how the sun comes through the window. The sun is lower in the sky in the wintertime, significantly, right?
Yep.
Okay. So when the sun is very high up, the sun comes straight down and it doesn't come all the way through the window. You will find that in the winter, because the sun stays lower in the sky, that more of the window is filled with light. So if you can use higher up in the window, will very likely have more light, direct sun coming through at this time of year than it does in the summer when the sun is straight up. So you can maybe take advantage of and hanging some plants higher up, closer to the window, to give them a little bit more light than where you would have them ordinarily. That works out pretty well for those hanging baskets that you put out in the summer and then move in for the winter, like ferns and things that you might want to hang on the front porch, or begonias that you would have hanging outside, hanging plants outside that are relatively low light outside can be moved inside for the winter, and you can put them higher up in the window because the way the angle of the sun is coming in, you can take more advantage of that. So these are all things that you might want to give a try to help your plants out during the darkest time of the year. Putting lights on, it's a supplement. You don't want to actually have to depend on that. But yes, leaving the lights on will make somewhat of a difference as a supplement. But if you have your plants in the middle of the dining room table away from the window, that no amount of light is going to substitute for. No amount of artificial light is going to substitute for some of the sun. So you need to maximize all of the possibilities and give your plants the best shot that they can have. And as far as watering goes, it's really, you know, tricky to say, should you be watering more? Should you be watering less? And people often ask me, how often should I water? Once a week, once every 2 weeks, once every 10 days. It really depends individually on the plant and also the environment around the plant, so that if the heat's on and you keep your house warm, the plants are going to use up more water themselves in respiration, but they're also going to use up more water in evaporation as it evaporates out of the pot, because the air tends to be very dry. So it's going to evaporate relatively quickly. And so under those circumstances, you may need to water more than you think, because everything dries out. Plants that are in clay pots will dry out more quickly than plants that are in plastic pots or ceramic pots. So you really have to judge. I'm pretty careful about altering the plants in their pots so that I can water pretty consistently on the same day. There are some plants that I go out regularly and check and water slightly more often because I know they need it. But if you need to water one plant more often, then you may want to put it in a slightly larger pot to help keep your watering routine consistent. But it really varies from plant to plant, the location of the plant, the temperature of the house, the kind of pot that the plant is in. And you need to juggle these variables to come up with a system that works for you. All right, I'm going to give the phone number again. It's 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. Oh, can I take her now? Oh, all right. So we're going to go to the phones. Hey, Danny girl, how you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I have a question about rosemary. So I have lost one of my rosemary plant about 2 years ago. And so this year I started some from seeds. I have purchased some from various stores and I have planted them in three different beds and none of them actually doing well at all. One of them I pulled out a long time ago and the two that I have remained, they all look very, has spots on them and they just don't look healthy. And I'm just wondering, I remember you mentioned that yours didn't, you know, survive or do well at all. Is this something that has to do with the weather?
I'll be honest. Mine, that's not why mine didn't do well, although it did not survive last winter either. Mine did not do well because the mint took it over. The mint smothered it. I had several different kinds of mint in there, not surprising, and it was buried in the mint, and it was still alive, but only the branches that stuck up above the mint had any foliage on them, and then I cut them all off to make a rub for a loin of pork, and I used up what was there, and I was hoping it would resprout. And it may resprout in the spring because the roots may not be dead, but there's nothing on it now. And I like to have it around in the winter for that same reason, to make a nice loin of pork. I do this rub with rosemary and salt and garlic, and it comes out so good. So my friend Nancy gave me one in a pot, and I have it in the greenhouse, and it's doing just fine in the greenhouse. So I decided to go that route, and I may try planting another one outside, but I'm going to keep one in a pot because I like to have it all year long. And even if it's a healthy plant outside, it doesn't really give you anything in the winter. You know, it doesn't grow. And so I think I'm going to keep one inside in a container. But the ones that you have, is there anything, are they dying in the same way is my question, or deteriorating in the same way, all three plants in all three locations?
One of them, one, I guess it's from the ceiling that I started, just was never really robust.
Okay.
So, you know, over the time, I guess other, like I said, probably got smothered by other plants around it. It just never do well. And around the same area, I also planted the basils this year. And usually I will, by midsummer, I will have so much basil, I would not know what to do with it. This year, I hardly harvest any. That's why I don't understand why. But they were bigger and taller than that little ceiling, so the ceiling just never got enough sun, I suppose.
Well, you're sun challenged in your backyard. You are. There's not, you know, you have a small, magnificent yard, but you don't have a whole lot of sunny spaces. And basil really needs sun in order to do well. So is it possible, did you put it in a new location this past year other than where you usually keep it?
Actually, the spot that I put it, it's the one that would reach, get the morning sun the earliest, because the furthest towards the front of the garden. So that would, the sun comes from the sun, it will go past it, and it would get the most of it, actually, I think. But I had planted there before and was always doing fine. And, I mean, I actually keep all my other shrubs pruned, and the neighbor's trees are all, you know, most of the big trees are down. So I don't think so, because the tomato is growing like 8 feet tall.
Okay, so it's not a sun situation in that case.
I don't think so.
But, okay, so the basil, did you grow that from seed or from transplants? Did you buy the plants?
I got them. I got the plants.
Okay, and did they look healthy when you planted them?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then they,
yes.
You know, my basil didn't do awesome this year either. So
yeah,
I'm wondering,
I have seen, you know, met a couple of people that they all comment, oh, my basil didn't do well. And we only have one friend that they had a basil in a pot, and they look like a humongous tree almost. That was the only person that I actually heard that their basil did well. So.
Well, then I'm wondering if it was just too much water. You know,
we had a lot of rain, and they may be
slightly more sensitive than other things. I've never experienced that before, but, you know, things vary from season to season with all the plants. You may have a great hydrangea year one year and a horrible hydrangea year the next. And so it's just possible that the environment this year, and it did rain a lot, maybe their roots were consistently wet too much, and so they didn't thrive. And the tomato plants that were right next to them, they're much bigger, so they were able to take more advantage of all the moisture in the ground. So they grew well, and the basil didn't. That's the only thing I can think of. If mine didn't do well, and yours didn't do well, and your friends didn't do well, then it's got to be environmental. And the only thing about this season was that the ground never really dried out. I mean, it did it in my yard. I had some dry stretches only because my ground is so sandy. But but if you have a fair amount of organic matter in your soil, and I know you take really good care of your soil, then it's possible maybe they just stayed too wet and didn't thrive. That's, you know, the only thing that we can come up with. And next year, though, Danny, I would suggest putting them in a different spot, not because of the sun, but it's not a good idea to plant, you know, you want to rotate your crops a little bit.
Oh, yes, I do that in my two beds. I do rotate them. That's why I'm aware of it. So they will get moved to a different location next year for sure.
Okay, so then I'm going to throw out one more suggestion, and that is grow basil in a pot. You know what? It's funny that now that I'm thinking about it, I put several basil plants in a pot. And I put them on the porch at my house in Ocean Grove so that my tenants mm-hmm. can cut it and use it if they want.
Mm-hmm.
And that did fine. So I think we're back to too much water, you know, because that basil in a container did fine. And that was in a clay pot and mm-hmm. it had plenty of drainage. And it did well. It was pretty robust most of the summer. So I think, you know, you may want to, just to be on the safe side, do one in a clay pot and so that you can make sure if you have one extra pot of basil and everything in the garden does great. Okay. So you have a little extra basil, but if everything in the garden does the same as it did last year, well, then you'll have the one in the pot as backup. So that would be
well, I mean, that actually sounds like a good idea because I always have limited space in my vegetable garden anyway. So
right.
I could definitely, you know, put that on the side and do that. So back to my rosemary. I'm thinking they all have the spots on the leaves, those, you know, needle kind of leaves. And it just doesn't look that healthy.
When did the spots appear? Brown spots, white spots?
White spots and some black spots.
Okay. Are you sure it didn't have any kind of insects like scale or mealybugs or anything like that?
The one plant that it did, I think one of them did look like there's something growing on it. The other one, it just doesn't look healthy. I don't know why. The plant itself looked robust, but every leaf has spots on them.
Well, it might have a disease. That's a definite possibility.
So I should just pull them out. And I just recently bought one from the supermarket. It's one of those organic one in the little plastic container.
Right.
So I should just pop that up and do what you're doing, put it inside the house then? In my greenhouse?
Yes, I would do that. But I would leave the ones out there and then see how they do over the winter. You've got nothing to lose by leaving them there. And then cut them back in the spring and fertilize them and see if they don't recover.
Okay, so I should not cut them now.
No.
That's what I wanted to know.
No, I wouldn't cut them now.
Okay.
Okay.
So just leave them that way and then see what happens in the springtime.
Yes. All right. I sent you some pictures.
Okay.
Do you have your phone?
Okay. Hold on.
Okay. Okay. I sent Danny some pictures of my door that I made. I just, it came out. Isn't it awesome? So
yes.
I took the doors outside and Tommy helped me. I had been scraping them inside because you don't make too much of a mess scraping. But I didn't want to do the sanding inside because the whole kitchen would have to be wiped down and cleaned. And I didn't want to do that. So Tommy helped me and weather was warm enough. So I took them outside and I got I was bundled up and masked and, you know, completely covered. And I just sanded the bejeebies out of these things. Now, that one door faces the top of the basement stairs. I sent you a picture of Becky looking at the door after it was back up.
I noticed Becky right away.
Yes, so she was she was waiting for me to let her into the kitchen. That's the only door that was painted red. Now you can see the walls are some kind of fake brick wallpaper. Yeah, I mean it's
right.
Really, but it's a basement stair, so you know it's okay. So I guess that's why they painted the door red. At one point, the basement was a sort of finished basement. They did some really weird things. They put cedar shingles on the ceiling to cover the ceiling. And they built literally a magnificent brick fireplace with a hearth, you know, a raised hearth. And that's been boarded up, and the chimney outside, we're not allowed to open that up unless we deal with the chimney and have it all serviced and all that. And so it's been boarded up with sheet metal. I have no intention of ever getting it started again. It's a basement, and it's the only storage in the house, so it's staying storage. And we added the upstairs. So I imagine that was like a family room for them at one point. There's the other fireplace down there, which long ago somebody knocked the chimney out of. That's the original fireplace that I think, although we were told the house was built in 1904, dates back to the 1800s because it has a bread oven in it and it has that eye hook in the wall to swing the pot in and out. So that's much older than 1904. So that's totally non-functional. So they added this other one. So I think that they painted the door red to make it inviting and put the brick wallpaper up to go with the brick fireplace. And that at one point they like paid some attention to this space. The stairs are painted the same color red. So I think at some point, you know, they were trying to make this nice. But then after that, they put multiple colors on top of the red. But I sanded it down to this magnificent red and yellow and blue and white and tan, and I that's what I did yesterday. Came out cool. It's going to stay there. Just thought you would get a kick out of seeing it.
Yes, very nice. You couldn't reproduce this.
No, absolutely not. So I'm going to keep it, and I'm going to put a couple coats of Varathane on it, and I love it. So there you go. And Becky apparently really likes it too.
Yes.
All right, my dear. Everything good with you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I would repot the rosemary and keep them inside.
I would definitely, definitely do that.
Okay.
All right. I will talk to you soon.
All righty.
Okay. Bye bye.
Have a great day.
You too. Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay. Do we have another caller? Let's take a break first. The number here, 545-9282, outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. We have three open lines, and we'll be back after this.
Dell Technologies' end-of-year sale is the perfect time to upgrade tech. Save big on the latest computers featuring Windows 11 Pro that easily automate workflows. Don't forget to shop servers, storage, and top-brand electronics with savings up to 45% and all with free shipping. Call a Dell Technologies advisor to help you transform your digital workspaces with comprehensive end-to-end solutions. Find the right tech for your business needs at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Hi, I'm Todd Frazier. Whether I'm training to play baseball or spending time with my family, I always give 100%. The kids at Children's Specialized Hospital are giving 100% every day so they can reach their full potential. Today, I'm asking you to be a champion for the health of New Jersey's kids by donating to Children's Specialized Hospital Foundation, where 100% of your gifts improves the futures for thousands of local kids living with special health care needs. Join my team today by making a gift at give2csh.org now. That's give the number 2csh.org. 100% of your donation supports life-changing care for kids. Please give today.
Guys, if you want to be healthier, stronger, and have more energy, you got to put in the work, because that's what I do. I put in that work. That's why I'm here to tell you about M-Drive, the daily supplement for driven men who want to stay in the game, no matter their age. M-Drive's special blend of clinically tested herbs, adaptogens, and vitamins support your body's natural testosterone production to give you the energy, strength, and mental boost you need to compete and win every single day. Not sometimes, every single day. You can find M-Drive at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shoppe. Or you can visit mdriveformen.com to get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. You have nothing to lose. Fuel your daily drive with healthy testosterone support your body needs to perform at its best all day, every day. M-Drive, it's not for everyone. It's for the driven. Visit mdriveformen.com and get the natural T support, energy, and focus you need to stay at the top of your game. Don't let age beat you. Visit mdriveformen.com.
The new Talk Radio 1450 WCTC, the voice of Central Jersey. The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester Howells, and we're going to go where? What town are we talking here? Going to go over to East Brunswick and say good morning to Ira. How you doing, Ira?
Hello there. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you today?
Okay. The way the weather looks right now, we're having a mild winter, and it's not going to snow no more in New Jersey.
Now, Ira, first of all, it's not even officially winter yet. When is it officially winter, Jared? It's not winter until December 21st. So winter hasn't really even started yet. So I still think there's plenty of time for you to have a nice, hefty snowstorm to make you happy, okay? There's plenty of time for that.
Yes, there is.
So I wouldn't worry too much, but I would also, Ira, I would enjoy this warmish weather that we're having now a little bit. Get outside, go for a walk, take a look at the squirrels, check out their tails, make sure they're nice and fluffy. You know, get outside and enjoy this because, you know, the snow will come and you'll get to enjoy that too. But this is kind of a Christmas season gift to have it a little bit warm at this time of year. So try to enjoy it, okay?
I will.
All right. You have a great week, all right?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay. So the number here, 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. So, all right. So there are plenty of things that you can be working on to keep yourself happy and to get outside, and leaves being one of the things that are just, you know, crazy out there. I've seen my next door neighbor has a team of people come and take care of her yard, and they came with I think it was 5 leaf blowers at once. It was like so loud, and they blew all their leaves. That was a lot. It was a lot. It was really loud. Luckily, though, because there were so many, it didn't take very long. And she has a small property, so it didn't take too long. But it really shook me up when they all went on at the same time and blew all the leaves out to the street. And I guess that means that somebody's going to come and collect them. I don't know. But I don't do that. I rake the leaves from the areas where they need to be raked, like around the front steps. And I kind of like the leaves. So I only rake up the bare minimum, but I do put them on the compost pile. And that's the point that I'm trying to get to, is now as the leaves are being collected, you do want to spend some time figuring out what you're going to do with your compost. Now, my compost pile has really shrunk, which is, you know, what compost does as it decomposes. And the way I do it is a nice long row. And I add to one end and take away from the other end. And then as I work my way down and I remove the compost and I use it, then I start adding to that end again. So it works out. That particular system works out really well for me. And I probably generate a lot more compostable material than most people do, because, you know, I have everything that comes out of the barn, the straw and the chicken poop and all that goes on to the compost pile as well. So in addition to everything from the yard, then I have all of that. So my pile's probably bigger than most people's, but I also use the compost quite a bit as well, so it works out well for me. But this adding to one end and then taking from the other is a pretty simple way of doing it. Now, if you don't have enough room to make a nice long row, you at least need to make sure that you have room for two piles. And the reason for that is at some point you're going to need to turn it. Now, for me, I use a pitchfork and I just take everything from the top and put it onto the end of wherever it is I'm adding. And because what's on the top doesn't decompose, and then that exposes the good stuff that's decomposed underneath, and that works out pretty well. Oh, we've got Jack Arbine. Okay, hey Jack, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Just talking to you before I open up.
Oh, so you're opening up? You're going to have some people come and pick some Christmas trees today?
Yeah, we got another 35 in yesterday because we're so short. You know, there's not many trees out there, but we're going to keep everybody happy.
Well, that's good. I know I'm happy. My tree is almost as perfect as last year's tree. It's really quite beautiful. I'm very happy with it.
The pictures you shot, you sent me, were great, and my daughter loved it. She says, wow, what a tree.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. I do have a slight problem with the tree, just slight. My cat likes it too much. My cat has been batting the lower ornaments. I find them all around the living room. So I've had to add them back on. We had to tie the tree up to make sure he doesn't climb the tree and knock it down. But
that's a good to have.
It is.
A nice problem.
Yes, and he's really not a destructive cat. He has a whole bunch of things that he likes to scratch, and they're acceptable things. He doesn't do a lot. He doesn't hurt any of the furniture or anything like that. He has one chair that he likes to scratch, but only on the back of it, and it's a beat up old chair anyway. So he's a good little boy. And
so he must be training for soccer.
Yeah,
with the balls on the floor.
Absolutely, yep. That's what he's doing. But the tree is really lovely. It's really lovely. And Tommy posted on his Facebook page. So if anybody wants to see it, they can search out his Facebook page.
Well, it was good to see you guys last week, and you got a couple pine cones